Hey, thanks for taking care of things, and I want to publicly say thank you to my son Ryan for sharing the word last week. I heard everything went fine. Yes? Hey, can we give him a big God bless you for doing that? And all the team, and everybody did good. I brought a couple things back with me as well. I bought a case of these books, brand new book from Matthew Barnett called Misfits Welcome. I thought that fitted me really well, so I thought it might fit some of you. They're $20, but if you bought the case, I got them for $15, so that's what we're selling them for. And I really want to encourage you to engage in developing yourself. That's why I've had some books out there this year. In 5 years, the only thing that will make you different is the people you hang around and the books that you read. So I want to encourage you to do that. Also, that young adult meeting next week, they need you to sign up. There's a place in the foyer for you to do that. If you're between the ages of 18 and 30, you want to come to that next week right after this service. They're going to feed you lunch and have some fun over there, 18 to 30. But sign up at the table before you leave today so they know how much lunch to have. And then also, mark in your calendar if you're not normally able to come on a Thursday when our friends from WDCX come. It's going to be a fun night. You can come here. They're going to be broadcasting right in the church here. Neil Boron will be doing his 3-6 Lifeline here. So if you've never been on radio and you want to be, some of you really have a radio face. I want you to know that too. So you'd fit right in. You can come. He'll let you talk. He'll interview you a little bit. It'll be a fun night. And then at night, we're going to have a great worship night. And some of their team from WDCX is going to join us. I told Nev Larson, who is the, I don't know, he's the general manager's father, who is still at WDCX. I met him the first time. Over 30 years ago, WDCX used to do a Sunday night sing at different churches. Anybody else remember that long ago? Thank God for Wayne. Wayne, you always bail me out. Anyways, he came to the church, the Christian Missionary Alliance Church that I got saved at. And Nev is still working today, still a part of WDCX. His son is the station manager, and he'll be here, Brett Larson and a whole bunch of them. You'll have a great time. It'll be a great night for everyone. And as I told you, at the end of the service today, we're going to receive our monthly end of the month, last Sunday of the month, missions offering. I want you to pray what God would have you to do. This month, we're going to use it in the area of benevolence, and we're going to help meet some needs in these families that had experienced this terrible car accident. Amen. Father, just for the next few minutes, open up every heart here. Do something great in and through your people, I pray in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Some of the things I'm going to share with you today are some of the things that God just inspired on my heart in this last week when I was gone. And that's what I want to do with you today and encourage you to step out and to do some things maybe that you haven't done before. And I really realized in my own life that in some areas that I've been playing it safe. But I want to pray that for some of you, you'll take a step this week. And you'll look at some of the areas in your life and you'll make a decision that you're going to do something that's going to require a level of faith on your part. Because if we're going to be faith-filled people, we're going to think bigger, we're going to do bigger, and we're never going to insult God with small thinking or just safe living. We must believe that God has called us to carry out his mission and to do it not only in our lives, but in our community, in our church, in the region, in the area of where he has entrusted us. And, you know, I want to just say this, and I'm going to share at the end. I'm only going to be a few minutes, but I'm going to share some things at the end. Some of my dreams, some of my vision, and one of them is to do a greater level of outreach. And you know what I'm finding out is that term cannot be just looked at with the same eyes that it's always been looked at. But maybe some of the greatest outreach that you can have is right in the area of where you work. Maybe where you work, some people don't even know that you're a Christian. And I'm not saying that you have to go and stand on your lunch table at noontime and begin to preach. But I am telling you that living for the Lord is just doing some things that are different, that are out of the box, that are demonstrating that you're different than everybody else. And that when somebody asks you, why are you different, you have the ability to tell them why you're. That's outreach. Amen? Come on. That's living for God. That's doing. So maybe it's going to the hospital and visiting some people. I went to the hospital yesterday in Strong to visit Kim and David's son, and I stuck my head in the waiting room, and a family said to me, Pastor Marty, and it was the family of one of the other kids that were hurt, got to pray with them in the waiting room. God will use you no matter where you go. Use you in the grocery store. Use you buying coffee at Starbucks. He'll use you. He'll anoint you at that time to bless you in a powerful way. And you might get turned down. I got turned down a few weeks ago. You know my line when I go to Starbucks and I say, I'd like to buy your coffee. And people, 9 out of 10 times, will say, no, I don't want you to do that. And I said, no, I want to. And so if I'm there alone and it's a woman that is alone, I always feel a little funny, but I feel a nudge from the Lord to do it. So I give them my spiel. Hey, I'm not flirting. I've been married 37 years. I'm very happily married. I love my wife. I just really want to be a blessing to you. And I've only had twice in my life where somebody has said, no, I don't want you to buy it. It happened just a few weeks ago. I was at the Starbucks in Batavia. And I said to the lady, and I told her, I gave her, no, you're not going to buy my. I said, well, I just really want to bless you. No, you're not going to do it. I said, well, okay. And then as I'm walking down the coffee bar, she goes, I know who you are. You're the pastor of that big church downtown. I'm like, uh-oh, I got to watch what I say here. Because what I wanted to say is you, I don't even want to tell you what I wanted to say, but I. Then she started telling me that she knew some of my family. So, but she still wouldn't let me buy her coffee. What I'm saying is that when you step out in faith, you'll not always be met within the applause of everybody that you're encountering. Amen? But you still do it. You still reach out. You still do it. You still show love. You still be a blessing. You still step out in faith. You still do what God has called you to do. And Jesus did that. And in his hometown, the Bible says that he offended many. And the Bible says that he really wasn't even accepted as though someone who was who he said he was. And in Mark chapter 6 and verse 5 and 6, the Bible says that Jesus, he could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. In verse 6 it says, and he was amazed at their lack of faith. And the exact opposite happened in the story in Luke chapter 7 where the centurion was asking Jesus if he would come and heal his servant. And Jesus, as he began to move there, the centurion soldier said, wait a minute. He said, say your word only and my servant lives. And Jesus, he replies, he says, when he heard this, he was amazed at him. And turning to the crowd following him, he said, I tell you, I've not found such great faith even in all of Israel. What is happening here? Two different responses from Jesus. One, he was amazed at their lack of faith. And the other, he was amazed at the centurion's great faith. And I want to ask you today, I just want to lay this on you today. Which one of those are you? Where do you land in that? Are you someone who is always living in the safety zone? Or are you someone who can say, like the centurion soldier said, speak your word only, Lord, and your servant lives, and believe that God can do exceeding and abundantly above what you could even ask or think he was going to do. I'm telling you, there comes a point in your life where you just need to put put it all out on Jesus. And if he doesn't come through, you know that you're in big trouble. And I want to tell you something, and tell you from experience. You'll gulp water once or twice in your life. You'll run up against somebody that will, they'll tear you up and talk bad about you. But when it's all said and done, I'd rather be on the shores with those who have stepped out into great faith than to live in some stinking little small safety zone and never do anything great for the King of Kings or the Lord of Lords. Come on today. And so if you were at a meeting with Jesus, where would he rank you? How about this past week? What was the capacity of your faith? When you trust God, you got to step out of bounds. And I want to give you a thought. Is there anything that is different today because of what your faith did last week? I want you to think about that. Just ponder that. And as you do that, I want to just give you three short little thoughts here this morning. Number one, if you're going to have great faith in your life, you can't play it safe and please God at the same time. The Bible says, and without faith, Hebrews 11:6, it is impossible to please the Lord. If you can accomplish your goals and your dreams without stepping into faith, you are not doing to the dimension, to the fullness of what God has called you to do. You have to depend on him. And if you just always play it safe, you will never step into that dimension where God will bless you and open up the world and life to you in a great and in a powerful way. You know, I think I was talking to my wife this week about missions trips. And, you know, I never was a big missions person. I just, you know, growing up in that little church that we did, and we'd see a missionary come in once in a while. They'd have their little overhead projector and show you pictures of hungry kids, and they're feeding them. They got a smile on them. Then they'd take an offering and they'd go. And I just never felt engaged with that. And then something changed and transpired in my life over the last decade, and been to Africa several times and in different parts, Brazil, and went to Ireland last year. And when I think about it, I think about it's so much easier just to stay home. It's a lot easier. It's easier on me personally. It's easier on my family. When it's time for me to go out of the country, my wife, just one of the triggers in her life. If you want to know if she's in stress, look at her. She starts to get cold sores. Nobody laughed on that. It's the truth. And before I go on a missions trip, cold sores start coming out on her mouth. What's the matter, honey? Nothing. Just like that. What's the matter, honey? Nothing. It'd be easy for me to stay back. It'd be easy for me. I remember being on a plane several times where I got on the plane in the dark, the sun came up, it went down again, and I was still on that same plane. Not fun. Not exciting. I remember one time I was going to Africa and my seat was the last seat in the plane closest to the bathroom door. I was so frustrated. I mean, I was just, oh. And then to make matters worse, the guy that sat next to me was going on the same missions trip and I had to shake it off and get it together and act like a pastor in front of him. I just wanted to be upset. Have you ever just wanted to be mad and grumble a little bit? You didn't want anybody to challenge you on that? And here I am on this plane. I am upset. I am grumbling. And the guy sits down next to me and he begins to tell me how good God is. Good. Good for you. But I want to tell you, and then you get off the plane and you're in another country. And I remember one year I'm at the Nairobi airport and I got all this stuff that we packed out and I'm bringing it with me to give out to the orphans. And you get up there and I'm tired, I'm dirty, I even got a little funky odor to me because I haven't had a shower in 30 some hours. And I get up there and the lady, all you get through the customs, you get all that, but then there's one other level you got to go through, and they all know that the Americans are going to pay them to get through. And the lady comes up there, she says, that's going to cost you $100 American cash to bring them through. I says, $100? I said, I just brought this stuff for the kids in your country that are no shoes. We had sandals. We had shoes. I don't know how many. We had dozens and dozens. I'm pulling behind me. And this lady's trying to get one over on me. She says, you're not going to go through there until you give me $100 cash. I backed up and I said, lady, I'm going to stay here longer than you are. I'm not giving you a dime. And I didn't say it in a real Christ-like manner. I didn't cuss or anything, but I just said, I'm not giving you a dime. I just backed up like this, and I stood there, and I looked right at her. And I'm thinking, I could be home, sitting in my chair. I could be in our church. People like me. Most of them do anyways. I could have been in a safety zone. But you will never see the miraculous and the power of God until you take that step out of that comfort zone and do something great for the glory of God. And I remember handing out those shoes and seeing the tears on those kids' face and thinking, that is it right there. Because you got to step out to find out that God is going to be with you. And if you're not failing and falling and running up against a little trouble sometimes, you are probably playing it too safe in your life. And God wants to lead you and I out of that and lead us into a dimension that he can use us in a powerful way. The second thought is as long as you have a guarantee, you're not living and acting in faith. Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. If you're going to live in faith and have faith and trust him in a dimension that you never have, you're not going to get a guarantee on the other side of the decisions that God is calling you to make. You're going to have to step out. You're going to have to believe him. You're going to have faith in Jesus and trust him that he's going to lead you where he wants you to go. And you're going to have to take a step, even as Peter did when he got up and got out of the boat. Jesus said, come. And he stood up and he walked out on water, but he began to gulp and sink. Sometimes, my brothers and my sisters, you're going to sink a little when you step out in faith, but it's okay because God will reach down and he'll pull you back up out of that water and he'll set you on a solid surface again. There was 11 other people in that boat that stood by. I'm not getting out. I'm not doing that. And anytime you do anything great for God, anytime you step out in faith, you're always going to have people around you telling you, you can't do this. You can't do that. That'll never work. You shouldn't have done this. You shouldn't have done that. Forget them. Turn the noise off and begin to hear the voice of God saying, come with me. Step out of the boat. Do something that you've never done before to get something that you've never seen in your life. Somebody here, maybe it's time for you to start a business. And you're looking for a guarantee. Can I tell you? It just doesn't work that way. Some of you, maybe it's time you want to go back and finish up school. You want to get a degree. You want to get a diploma. Come on, I want to encourage you. This is your year to do that. For some of you, you're afraid to go to a Bible study because you don't like that intimate setting. But you need to do that. For some of you, it is a missions trip. This is your year. You need to do it. Some of you are afraid even to come to a missions dinner because if you do that, you're afraid that God's going to call you to go on a missions trip. Can I tell you? Step out in faith and watch God do something great in your life. Amen. I love my kids when they come to my house and they look at my office and they look, where'd you get that, Boppy? I got that in Kenya. Where'd you get that, Boppy? I got that in Ethiopia. Where's that picture from, Boppy? That's in Ireland. Where's that from? And God took a little farm boy from South Byron that didn't know any better. I didn't operate in faith. I operated in pure ignorance. And he says, I'm going to use you and I'm going to bless you. And when you step out in faith, he'll take you places and do things that you never dreamed he could do with you. Amen. Oh, come on today. Let God do something. Amen. And as long as you have a guarantee, you don't, and you're not operating in faith. And last third, to step towards your destiny, you have to step away from your security. You got to do it. You got to do it. You have to let go of your security to apprehend your destiny. God has something great for you. Hebrews 11:8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance. Did you see that? Abraham, listen to it. He obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Woo! I like that. He received it as an inheritance, but when he was called to go, he didn't even know where he was going to go. That's not foolishness. That's stepping out in faith. When you take that one step and let go of the security that you've held so tightly. I'm talking to somebody right now. Right now, you're getting revelation in your heart. God is prompting you to do something great. I know, I feel it. I feel that going out of me right now. Then this is going to work both in the personal and in your church. To share, maybe some, it's just simply sharing your faith. You've never done that with the people that you're around. He wants you to share your faith. Invite someone to church. Bring someone with you to church. Maybe it's giving. Maybe it's in the area of giving. You've never tithed before. I've met people who say, if God, I'm going to give to God. And if he'll give me this much, then I'll start tithing. Only to see them get that and more and never give a dime back to God. And then see them lose what the ground that they gained. For some of you, it's serving in a ministry. Do you know you'll discover a calling on your life when you begin to serve in a ministry? You are born to serve. You don't have to. You and I get to serve. Whether it's in the nursery, in the jam, in the big kids, in tag youth, in adopt the block, bus, van, music, ushers, in prayer ministry, in sound, in video, in greeters, in something, in making coffee. How about making dinner? How about helping? How about stepping out of what you're comfortable with and doing something that you never thought possible? Some of you have gifts and talents and you stand in the shadows and you look at what could be done and you say, well, I could do it better than that, but you're not doing it. And to him that knows to do it and doesn't, the Bible says that's sin. Now, that's some old-fashioned preaching right here. Maybe for some of you, it's getting married. You know, I felt this in the first service, and I don't know. You know, I've said this before. Anyone, you're welcome here. I used to say anyone's welcome, but if you come to hurt people, to cause trouble, sell drugs, hurt children, you're not welcome. I'm going to take you. I'm going to help you out. I was going to say I'm going to take you out myself. That's not what I mean. You can't come. I'm under an anointing. What am I going to say? I don't even know what I was going to say now. I just lost it all right there. How in the world did I get onto that? Help me, Jesus. That's when, okay, I'm going to put my glasses back on. I'm going to end with this. Pastor said he's going to take some people out. Every year, when I go to the pastor's conference, it impacts my life, changes me, it broadens me. I start thinking about what I want to do for the next year in October, November, December. I begin to write things down, take notes. The first of the year, I'm praying, I'm thinking. Then when we come to the conference, it's called the Dream Conference now. And all through the week, you're inspired, you're challenged. And I begin to write more things down. And I thought, you know, I've never done this before. But I thought I just wanted to end today. And I just wanted to share with you some, not all, but some of the things that God has laid on my heart. And I want to inspire. I want to encourage you. I want to help you to go to that next place. If somebody leaves here today and you make a decision to step out in faith, God will be honored. He'll be glorified. Here's just a few. It's not all of them. It's some of them. I want to do greater outreach. I want to be more effective. And if you want to talk to me about any of these, come see me. Make a time. I'd love to talk to you. Greater outreach. More effective. I want to do a men's and women's outreach. A place. I want to have a place to repair and restore those who have been broken and hurt. I want to have a vibrant young adult ministry. I want to see more people enter into ministry. I want to hire a full-time or a part-time seniors pastor. I want to reach more and see more, come to a saving knowledge of Christ and become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. I want to start another church. I want to start an online church. I want to inspire more leaders. I want to release more people into ministry. I want to encourage my sons, my own boys more. I want to see my grandchildren grow up and be in ministry. I want to redo the Outback. I want to redo the marquee. I want to have a dedicated coffee bar in the house. Y'all carnal bunch of people. I talk about people coming to Christ. You sit there, I talk about a coffee bar. Yahoo! It's okay. Help me out, brother. That's just some. That's not all. But we can do these things, and you can reach your dreams, and you can become what God wants you to be as well. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to bow your head in this house today. You may be here today. You may say, you know what? I don't know anything about what you're talking about, but it sounds right and it feels right. God's got a plan for you. Maybe you've never given your heart and your life to Christ. He wants your life. And you need him in your life. And when he comes in your life, he changes you completely. I told everybody in the first service, maybe you're coming to church for the wrong reason. When I first started coming to church, I came because there was a cute blonde there. Man, I was digging her. Lo and behold, I ended up married. Maybe you're coming for all the wrong reasons, but you know God can take whatever reason and he can turn it around. Use your life for something great. You've never given your life to Christ. Today is your day. I just want you to slip up your hand and say, Pastor Marty, that's me. Will you pray for me? Put your hand up right now. No one looking around. Put your hand up. God bless you guys. Put it up. Do it one more time. Put your hand up. God bless you guys. I want everybody to pray this prayer with me today. Say, Lord Jesus, come on, I want everybody to pray. And I want people that have known the Lord for years. This isn't something that you should just shrug off. This is important because people are making a decision today to make Jesus the Lord of their life. Everybody, pray this prayer with me. Open up your mouth, good and loud. Say, Lord Jesus, today I come to you and I ask you to take my life. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me. Make me a new creature. I ask you to be my Lord and my Savior. From this day forward, I know my life will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on now. Put your hands together for those who made that first time commitment for Christ. Amen. I want to receive the missions offering today. It's going to go in the direction of these families. We're going to find out where there's a need. And I told the first service, last month's missions offering was around $300. My brothers and my sisters, that's not good. We should take no less than a $1,000 offering every month that we do a missions offering. Wherever it's going to go to, we need to be honored the Lord in that part of our giving. I want you to give today because we're going to help some people in our community. Ushers, come on down today. You can use the push pay. I did it before I came up here. There's a place on there for missions. You can do that. You can take an offering envelope, send it if you didn't come prepared. Let's do something that honors God today. Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love. God bless your people now as they give in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead, folks.